Well, it's really Eldora, Yezichka, and Pavlik, of course. Because with me, though, my first name is really Mary, because they told me that Eldora wasn't a Catholic name, and so they called me Mary Eldora. And then, of course, I have my baptismal name, second name is Melada, and then my confirmation name is Eldora, so I read just a whole lot of things. But they just call me Eldora Pavlik for short. But it's Eldora Yezichka Pavlik.
How old have you lived, and how old are you?
I'm 91, and I'm going to be 92 now in October.
Uh-huh. And you've lived always in Verdigris?
What?
Have you always lived in Verdigris?
Yes. I was born 2.5 miles southeast of Verdigris on the farm, and I was born in a log house. Part of the house was a log house. That's where I was born.
Did you have sisters, brothers?
A little brother, but he died in infancy, so I was left alone.
Where did you go to school?
Verdigris.
Verdigris? Was it far away?
2.5 miles.
How did you go?
Walk.
Walk?
Except when it was muddy or snowy, then they would take us with horses and buggy at his school, and of course, not putting jokes aside, but one of my little students, you know, I told her, you should practice more, because when I went to school, I had to walk 2.5 miles to school, 2.5 miles back, then help mother a little bit, and once in a while, you know, milk a cow, because you're on the farm. And she said, well, didn't the bus stop for you? Just sort of different. I sort of too. Okay. So all my school up to 12th, that is 12th, it was in Verdigris. I was a valedictorian. That time my average was 98.5. I don't know if anybody reached that so far, but that was my average for the 4 years. And I started my music when I was just, because I came from a musical family. There, as you would see in that book of Kutcher's, it gives that band of 1870. And that was my grandfather, was a bass singer and player in that. There were 5 Pavliks in there, and then they had a Tomek, that was a different. And they came to America in 1868, and they organized this band in 1870, and that was called the Pavli Band. And that carries on even today. We try to carry that. We have the young Pavliks get together and play, you know. And so we try to get that Pavlik name connected with music. And music was always on my mind. I can remember just a little girl. I tried to think I'm working on the stage. I just probably sit even in our little pasture there, and I tried to have a stage there and think I'm singing opera or something like that, you know, and because music was always, well, I just lived for that, I guess. And I was a pianist for the whole high school, and we had a little orchestra there also in the high school. Now they have a big band, but we didn't. We just had a small little band. Then I took, I was going to teach at country school, but that time things changed, and I didn't care to teach at country school. And folks said, if you want to go to college, we'll let you go to college. And so I took a summer course at the university for really for teaching, teacher's course, really, so if I could teach, right. And that was for the summer. By that time, I decided, yes, I wanted to go to university. So in the fall, I attended the University of Nebraska. It was called the Musical College of Nebraska. And went on, and I finished my 4-year course there because I studied hard. In 3 years, and I gave my graduation recital then and got my degree in piano in 1923. And then I was studying voice also, And in another year, I got my degree in voice. And then I went on teaching. I went to York, Nebraska, to teach for 2 years at the college, St. Ursula's College there. And I taught private lessons and classes and just regular course there. But I kept back and going back to Lincoln, still taking advanced work in piano and voice. And then after those 2 years I taught there, I attended a summer course in Chicago under that famous teacher, Klebanski, from Russia. He was there only for the summer, and he was a noted voice teacher, and so they advised me I should go and study with him, and I did. And after that, then, there were opportunities where I could teach. Situations arose so that I felt maybe I better come home, because I was the only one that folks had. And I thought, well, maybe I might just as well do more good among the folks there that really need it, while in the bigger places there are plenty of teachers. So I came home and began teaching at home, and I've been teaching ever since. This is my 74th year of teaching, because I started in 1919 to teach. My first student was, now I can set my mind, huh? Well, I think it was later on. Anyway, one of my students, second student, was here, and she's Mrs. LaPest, living west of town. She's my cousin. She was my second student. Mother was my third student, and then on until I... Of course, when I was at Lincoln, I had a class there. I had a class of Russian children there. It was interesting. It was all music, all time, because I sang in many programs, you know, and sang a soloist for the orchestra, and I was also a soloist in when they sang their Messiah, you know, on Christmas time. What did I say? Music, music, music. Then, of course, when I was home, that was the time when I found out that my first name was Mary, because we had a father coming from Europe, Father Bata was his name, and he was very musical, and was knowing I went to Lincoln, he asked, well, what is her name? And they says, Eldova Yedlitska. He says, Eldova, that's not a Catholic name. And he went to look up the record, and I was baptized Mary Eldova, you see. And of course, now they don't lay that spirit like they did that time, but you're supposed to have a Catholic name. And so I had Mary Eldova, and then the rest of the names. And so I've been teaching ever since. I paid, I've had 553 private students in my life. They would make a town, wouldn't it? And then I had, this is my 66th year as organist of St. Wenceslaus Parish at Rady Green. And at first I was organist and conductor of the choir, but then it came where the congregation sang, and so then I didn't have to conduct that. I just played the organ for their services and, of course, sang. And just kept that up to now. Oh, I played for about... came over 300, I don't have the numbers, I say, but it's over 300 of weddings and funerals that were given either from the VCBJ Hall or the mortuary. That time there was, whoever wasn't Catholic probably chose to have their, the funeral there. And then I played and sang for over 300 weddings and funerals at the St. Wenceslaus Parish.
What programs did you used to have here? What programs, kind of cultural programs? Did you used to have concerts or
singing? Yeah, we call them recitals. Usually two or three a year when I was strong. Of course, then later on it came to where Well, it was a little harder for me already getting older, and I'd had only one recital a year. And this year I had just a short recital.
Uh-huh.
Because
do you still organize that?
Well, I still have 8 students now. Yeah, I'm fading off, I mean, because I have to quit sooner or later.
It'll be a sad moment for the community, though.
Right.
It'll be sad for the community.
Oh, I don't know. They'll probably be glad I was gone.
Já jsem se chtěla zeptat česky, tak.
Yeah.
Když se přistěhovali vaši rodiče, babička nebo dědeček, a kdy přijeli do Nebrasky?
I don't know. Let's see. Well, that Pavlik band, like I said, either in English, came in 1868.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be about the time when the other side, that was Pavlik, and the other side was Grandma Storo. And of course, they married when they came here. And so we see, they came in, well, in 1868, they came here to Nebraska already, I guess,
mm-hmm.
About that time.
Jakým způsobem žili? Postavili si dům, nebo když sem přijeli, co dělali? Postavili si dům, našli?
Either a dugout or a log cabin.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Because I know grandparents, that house is still standing up there. It was practically all log, while the other side had sort of a dugout and then built on later on. And as I say, I was born in a house that was later on, it was half wood already then, and half was still the log cabin. I was at least born in the log cabin. And then folks built a new home on the farm, next farm, and then we moved there when I was 1 year old. So I lived on the farm till till I married. Yes. Because folks still live there.
When you went to school, did you know English and znala jste česky, nebo anglicky?
No, I didn't. I could talk faster English, that's why I talk English. I can talk Czech, but it takes me.
Zkuste to trochu.
But anyway, when I went to school, I remember my cousin took me, so I know where to go and what to. And the teacher put me a book and opened it up, but when she came around the second time, I was way back in the book, you know. Because I didn't understand a word she said, and not even one word, no. But from then on, the folks started teaching me. And of course, that time we had the kindergarten, and we had the workers, and then we had the first grade. So by that time, we sort of learned the language enough to go to school on. Uh-huh. And then, of course, from then on, I did graduate from the 12th grade in Verdigris.
What did you do around the house?
Well, I helped mother. Well, just regular work, cooking and cleaning, whatever she would tell me. I remember the house then that they had 8 floors, and I still can remember when I was expecting real good company, I'd wash all those 8 floors. That is mopping, you know, and so forth. Yes, I did help around the house, because I was the only one, you see.
A pomáhala jste taky na farmě?
Huh?
Pomáhala jste na farmě? A dojela jste krávy?
Yeah, uh-huh. I would milk a cow once in a while. Uh-huh. Sometimes several.
Uh-huh.
Except one. She was awfully hard to milk. I usually couldn't milk her. But yes, I did help her, uh-huh, with the chickens. Uh-huh. I was sort of handy wherever I needed. Garden work. And we always love flowers. Mother loved flowers, and I still do love flowers. And so I'd help with, so I had a lot of peonies. Those are peonies and other flowers.
What did you do when you were growing up, when you were a young girl? Did you go to dance? Did you go to dances?
Yes, but not so often. At that time it was different. Young folks went along with their parents. It isn't like now. The young folks have their own dances, like, and the parents, they have their social dances too. But that time, the family and the kids would go together, and that's the way I went with folks, and I did learn to dance, and, well, when I went to college, and that cut that off. I wasn't going to any dances until I came back. And I still can remember that Pavlik band playing in that hall, and I was a little tiny kid, and the folks started to dance, and they thought so they would, you know, so I wouldn't bother and cry. So there was it's in that hall, that place upstairs, right, where the band used to be, you know, and there was a concert, and folks who wanted the kids to sleep, they put them there to sleep, so for folks to be there too, and they thought I could sleep. But no, it was all men playing, you know, and I was afraid I'd cry, so they had to take you. I can still remember that. I didn't want to stay there, although my grandfather was there, but that wasn't enough to be the other men. So those are just little jokes, because I like to tell little jokes.
What did your parents complain most about? Which was the most difficult thing?
The what?
What was the most difficult time for your parents?
To keep going, not going to debt, and keep going, you know, because sometimes it was hard. Because it was a small farm, just 180 acres, I think. And then those dry years came. It was very bad.
No water. It was in the 30s?
Yes, uh-huh. And then the water was wasn't dry, really. We had to haul, I even remember hauling water in a pickup, two or three barrels on a pickup, water from town, to water those few cows that they saved, you know, didn't sell, probably two or three or so. And times were hard. And they were so really, just everything dried up. It's just, I hope we don't get that again. But oh, I don't know. We call them the 30s.
Yeah.
It began, a shadow of it began in 1925, because I remember we had relatives coming from Chicago, and that time I was 4 years older, so, no, I was older, but, well, anyway, they came, that was in 1925, and the corn was pretty small. It was pretty dry that time. And that uncle I used to call him from Chicago, he was short, and so my dad teased him. He says, you got to pick the corn because you're short, you can reach it easily. I mean, and I'm too tall to grab it. So that's a little joke I know to remember, that it was really a dry year then already. Not too dry, but from then on it was dry and grasshoppers. And then in the 30s, I don't know how many years, it was very dry, and became a little better until it's what it's now.
Ztratili lidi farmy kvůli tomu? Ztratili nějaký lidi farmy kvůli tomu? A lidi ztratili farmu kvůli tomu? Byli lidi, co nikdo nestratil farmu? Dobře.
No. But it was hard. Because I can even remember our hard times too, when we were married. Times were high. His business naturally wasn't big, and once he sat on the register by the heat, and he says, I wonder where we're going to get money to pay our insurance, you know. But we made it by saving, Times were hard even then. That was the 30s. Because we got married in 1928.
How did you court? How good people, young people get together at that time.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Uh-huh. Tell me, I don't want to hear the whole truth.
No, listen, I tell you. See, I sang. I was supposed to have a good voice, and I already was at the, I got my degree already in voice. Anyway, there was a, I don't know, he probably told you, that it was a park out west where I used to work. And they were celebrating 4th of July up there, big doings. And they came and asked me if I would sing up there for the program. And one of my sorority sisters lived up there, and so she was going to play for me, so that's fine. So we came there, my folks, and then also my cousin, Albina Pavlik, you know, and her folks came. And we were there for that doings, and I sang, and all went well. Then I remember that this cousin of mine, Albina, we sort of thirsty or something, we came to the stand to get a, I can get an ice cream or, well, something to refresh ourselves. And I said, that's the time when I looked at Edward, something sort of attracted his blue eyes, I guess, attracted me somehow. And that was the first touch. And what happened, we sort of talked there for a while, and then he asked if he could take us home, Albina and me. Well, we agreed. So he took the folks, they went home sooner then, and then he took us home later, what we little was a mile apart on the farm, you know. So that's the way it started. After that, he must have asked me for a day, I suppose. Took me home sometimes or something, and so forth, so on, so on. Mm-hmm.
How would people get married during those times?
Well, the weddings were simple. They aren't like they're now. Of course, some did have pretty expensive weddings. I suppose at that time it would be expensive anyway. But just like our wedding, well, we had our church services. And then we drove to Creighton to have our picture taken right after the service. And then to my folks' home. And there we had our, we called it a family dinner. It was invited, you know, just an immediate relative.
How many people would come?
Well, I wouldn't know. How many would it be? About 24? Anyway, it was the two rooms that had a big table. A filling like the two rooms, I can, that's about how many I would remember. Mm-hmm. And
did
we had a big dinner, and then about 3 o'clock, somewhere around there, we decided we changed clothes and so forth, we went on a honeymoon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he, I suppose, probably told you about that. We had a 10-week.
It was a beautiful honeymoon.
So that's what he told you all about. So that's the way that went. But came back again and went to teach music. At that time he was very busy because at that time people worked longer hours like he did with trucking, you know, and same at the station. He would work long hours. They don't do that now, but that time. So I had quite a bit of time, you know, at home, and so that's why I did a lot of teaching and all that. It didn't make so much difference. It kept me busy anyway. Plus the garden, things like that that I helped. Yeah.
I was supposed to ask, how would people bury people? For example, when somebody died in a family, how would people organize a funeral? Who would come? And
Well, it was different. Like with my grandparents, they died right in the home. That time people didn't die in the hospital. That was unusual, usually at home. And, of course, the father would come there to give the blessing and so forth, or absolution. And then the mortician or whoever, he would come and he would bring the coffin, actually pray for him right in the home. And the visitation was in the home. And then the next day, the funeral, that is, whenever that was, they would bring him to church. If it was in the country, but the town would be the same thing. Bring him down to the church, and the funeral will go on just like it does now. Mm-hmm. It'd be about the same thing. Those in town, of course, I think, yeah, I know he did. He must have had a place where there's a, or just like he has in our broad house, there's a chapel there, and that's where he brings. But he arranges them in the coffin in Creighton, takes them to Creighton, and when they're all fixed up nicely, then he brings them here for people to view. And I guess he takes them back, and then the morning of the cemetery brings them back, because I suppose it's for fire prevention, so nothing would happen if he left them here all night, you know, so he takes them back.
Would there be some kind of a get-together after the funeral?
The what?
Would people get together after the funeral to eat together or?
Yes,
in Czech it's called pominky. Pominky, would you have anything like that?
Well, after the funeral, all the relatives, everybody nowadays is invited for lunch.
Uh-huh.
And if it's like the Catholic Church, okay, the Catholic ladies will fix the lunch. Mm-hmm. If it's the Methodist will fix the lunch. It's Lutheran, it's Lutheran. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's usually the case now. Just like the other day, that I own nothing. They buried her at, it's out west, anyway, cemetery. But the lunch was here in Verdigris at the Medici's because it's where the service was.
Sure. Já bych vás chtěla požádat stejně, abyste mluvila trochu česky. No, řekněte mi aspoň trochu sama o sobě. Aha, něco. Prostě kdo jste?
Já jsem už hodně stará.
Aha.
91. Už budu 92. Je hodně dva. Přesuji. Brzo. Chodila jsem do školy ve Vedeli celý život můj tady. Potom jsem šla do Lincoln, do university. Tam jsem byla 4 leta. Učila jsem 2 leta v York, Nebraska. A pokračovala jsem studie v Lincoln celý ten čas. Potom jsem šla na, course ve Chicagu. A potom jsem šla domů a začala jsem učit a učím dneska.
A co učíte? Co učíte?
Piano teď.
Piano.
Protože já mám trošku trubu. With thyroid, I don't know how they say that. And ztratila jsem hlas, já nemůžu zpívat takhle. Když zpívám, tak můžu zpívat 8 tones. Hodně nízko, podle jak jsem mohla zpívat. Mohla jsem zpívat i operní kusy or numbers, takhle nemůžu. Co si říct? Anyway. So that's what I do now. Mám 8 studentů, takhle, protože brzo budu muset přestat učit, protože už nefíluji dobře, nefíluji, I don't know, it's right, sometimes.
Někdy?
Aha. Záda mě hodně bolí a nohy a arthritis, I don't know what you say, arthritis, but anyway, rheumatism, this is a call it rheumatism. So, musím, I know. It's too much. Už je to moc. Well, jsem here. What do you say I'm here? Well, jsem tady ještě. Jak dlouho, nevím.
Co myslíte, že bude, co bude s Verdigris? Co myslíte, že tady bude? Myslíte, že tady se bude zlepšovat život, nebo bude...
bude to zlepšovat, ale bude to mít moderní, moc moderní.
Děkuji moc krát.